Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches. We've got three terrific speakers here today. The first is one of our leading military historians. Roger Morehouse has written about killing Hitler, Berlin at War, and his latest widely reviewed, very admirably reviewed book is Wolfpack: Inside Hitler's U-Boat War. Ladies and gentlemen, Roger Morehouse.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you very much for the kind invitation from the Oldie. Great to be here. After a splendid lunch that we've had, it feels rather wrong for me to start talking, at least for my 10-minute slot, about one of the most horrific campaigns of World War II. But there we are. That's my job for the day, so I apologise in advance. So I told myself I wouldn't tell you about the state of the food on German U-boats in World War II, how, you know, they were out for perhaps an 8-week patrol each time. After 2 weeks, the fresh food had gone, and they're down to tinned everything. Tinned bread was a speciality. Quite how you get bread into a tin and actually make it edible after 2 months, I'm not entirely sure. Actually, the food's not that bad, it has to be said. Pig's trotters, camembert, that they had a full 42-day menu, as I said, most of it tinned. It didn't stop them, unfortunately, getting scurvy. So you had a recurrence of scurvy, the great sort of scourge of 18th and 19th century naval life, actually makes a reappearance in the German U-boat crews of the Second World War. So much so that one crew that was taken prisoner by the British, the remains of a crew, about 30 members of the crew taken prisoner by the British in 1941 already, and with the medical examination that they were given, they found that over half of them had not only advanced scurvy, but oral sepsis. So I won't tell you about that because it puts you off your coffee and petty fours. So that leads me on to the next thing that I won't tell you about because it's rather unpleasant, is what they call the U-boat stink. All these U-boats, of course, you know, out for an 8-week tour. There's no room for anything. If you can imagine what a Second World War U-boat is in terms of size, it's about the size of two underground carriages end on end. With enormous diesel engines and electrical engines and torpedoes and men in bunks all over the place. You've got a crew of 50 in that space as well, living and working and doing everything they have to do. All, of course, hot bunking. So scabies makes a nice appearance in U-boat crews' health reports. And the U-boat stink, they didn't have any sort of room for anyone to stow their equipment. So, of course, they had to wear the same clothes for 8 weeks, which they did. They were allowed one change of underwear for 8 weeks. So can you imagine the stink, ladies? I saw some eye rolls there. So halitosis from the scurvy, body odour. And then of diesel, of course, there's diesel because they've got two massive diesel engines, so there's diesel everywhere, there's diesel fumes that gets into everything. And then if you add in the last ingredient, of course, is mould, because everything goes mouldy because everything's damp all of the time. The food rots, essentially the men rot as well. So if you add all of that together, you get what was known as the U-boat stink, which got so bad that there are examples of where the U-boats came into the port after the end of their 8-week patrol, and they would flip open the conning tower hatch, and very often the shore crew would recoil in horror at the stench that came out of the vessel. So this is the sort of stuff that I was dealing with this book. So with this, there's a lot of material already written about the Battle of the Atlantic, particularly in the wider U-boat war. But what I decided to do with this was try and flip the perspective and try and tell that story from the perspective of the German crews, because that was the area that didn't generally get talked about enough, I thought. It was a very kind of Anglo-centric perspective on the U-boat war itself, on the Battle of the Atlantic. So I wanted to flip it, and that meant looking at the German experience. What was their training like? What was their food like? What was the ideology? How pervasive was that? You know, how did they get to that point in Mid-Atlantic where they're engaging Allied convoys through the war? A couple of the takeaways, perhaps, to come away from this. First of all, as I've just alluded to, the conditions are absolutely horrific. Now, this is more or less universal across submarine forces in World War II because it's still very primitive technology. It's still a very nasty environment to be in, but in the German case, particularly bad, not least because of the stresses and strains that were put on those crews to put them right across the globe, incidentally, right into the Indian Ocean, the Java Sea, and beyond. So it's not just the Battle of the Atlantic that's been covered, and of course the Arctic, as I'm sure you will know from stories of things like PQ-17, the sort of great horror story of the of that particular convoy. So, the horrors of actually being on those vessels. The other point to make is that it was actually all rather futile. Our British perspective on this is, which essentially is based on one line from Churchill's memoir from 1947, where he says that the only thing that really frightened him was the U-boat war. Based on that one particular line, you know, two generations of historians and commentators have rather, you know, run with the idea that this was a close-run thing. It wasn't. Let me tell you. 92% of the tonnage that was destined for Britain during World War II got there safely. They only managed to sink 8% of it. So while the losses were huge, three-quarters of U-boatmen did not survive the war. 75% losses. The highest loss rate of any arm of any service in World War II. 30,000 U-boatmen killed. 36,000 merchant mariners killed, Allied. So the losses are huge. In total, it's well over 100,000 men. But actually, it was a completely futile operation, contrary to our British perspective on all of this, which likes to, you know, persuade us. We like to persuade ourselves that this was a close-run thing. Plucky old Britain, you know, stood firm against the U-boat threat. Actually, it was all rather futile. So that was the story that I wanted to tell, was one of the hardship that they endured, the hardship they inflicted, of course, on Allied merchantmen, but also ultimately to try and tell the story of that futility. So I would be delighted if you are able, at the end of today, after this splendid lunch, to take a copy of Wolfpack home with you, whether it's for your history-obsessed loved one for Christmas or for yourselves, I don't mind which. One thing I would wish you is that your journey home is infinitely more pleasant than any of the journeys that I describe in the book. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Radio Aldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get 3 trial issues of the Aldie magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every 6 issues. Just go to checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.